A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association. The name is Small Business Association of BC Tax Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful.
I'm Pete Tucker with the Fight Back, thefightback.org. In addition to listening to the voice of DC cab drivers on the radio, you can listen live online at WST1120.com or on your phone at 712-432-6620. Again, in addition to listening live on the radio, you can listen live online at WST1120.com or on your phone at 712-432-6620. Starting tomorrow, the audio for this program can be found at thefightback.org, where past programs of the Voice of DC Cab Drivers are archived as well. Anyone with a smartphone or internet access can listen to the past shows by visiting thefightback.org. Tonight, we continue to examine what's going on with Prince George's County's taxicab industry. The Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance must get 3,300 valid signatures from registered Prince George's County voters by August 28th in order to place the anti-driver legislation known as CB3 on the ballot as a referendum in 2012. The Taxi Workers Alliance put a great deal of effort into organizing signature gathering teams for August 2nd, National Night Out. But at Beckett Field in New Carrollton, Dele Amanijo and Lema Desailene, both members of the Taxi Workers Alliance, say they were run off by a New Carrollton police officer. Amanijo and Desailene say that Officer Liu, L-Y-E-W, badge number 3112, told them they had to pre-register in order to collect petition signatures at a public event. In an interview conducted Friday at Beckett Field, Amanijo and Desailene discussed their attempts to bring the situation with Officer Liu to the attention of New Carrollton Mayor Andrew Hanko, as well as New Carrollton Chief of Police David Rice. Unfortunately, neither Mayor Hanko nor Chief Rice were available for comment Friday, nor were they available to join us this evening. New Carrollton City Administrative Officer Mike Downs did not respond to today's invitation to join the program, but in an email to the Fight Back, Downs denied the accusations laid out by Amanijo and Desailene. Downs wrote, quote, "The gentleman representing the taxicab company at the city's National Night Out celebration was annoying the participants and was politely asked to stand at the main entrance and solicit his petition signatures as opposed to wandering around the premises annoying people. He agreed, and that was that. He did not make contact with Mayor Hanko, but rather Chief Rice was the city representative with whom the gentleman conversed. Chief Rice conferred with me, and I approved what I thought was a fair solution. He had access to all the participants as they either entered or departed," end quote. Those are the words of New Carrollton City Administrative Officer Mike Downs. "I'm sorry neither Mr. Downs nor Mayor Hanko nor Chief Rice could join us this evening." We now turn to an interview I did Friday with Dele Amanijo and Lema Desailene at Beckett Field. Here's the interview. Your names?
My name is Lema Desailene.
My name is Dele Amanijo.
Talk about the night at August 2nd. We're here at Beckett Field in New Carrollton, and it was National Night Out. You are a part of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. And, well, why don't we begin with the petition? Explain what that is. And then we'll talk about the night of August 2nd.
Okay, the petition is just to overrule the CB311, that was the bill that was written by Bill Campos that has put a cap on the number of PG that a driver can have in PG. Another thing is that it gives the taxi cab industry 75% of the total cab in PG County and give 25% to the driver, which means the bill that will become law has taken away the hope of every driver to have a PG in PG County. That means a driver can drive for donkey years without the fortune of having a PG that he can have his own private business. The company will continue to grow the rate that they've been growing before, because there wasn't any check imbalance about, you know, the number of PGs that the cap company can have.
And a PG is a medallion.
Yes. Same thing. And, you know, the PG is the medallion, you know, that give an independent driver the chance to become a businessman of his own, to make his own living. The cap company has been indulged in taking $17,000 a year for rent on every cab that they rent to drivers. This has given them a whole lot of wealth that has enabled them to put money in the pocket of the politician, that instead of righting the wrong, they continue to build monopoly that is actually killing, you know, the drivers. The driver has to put about 12 hours into the business in order to be able to make a rent of $330 per week. This is taking more than 50% of the income of the driver. It's very difficult, you know, what the economy is for any driver to make it in PG County. But the bill, the law, CB 13 gave us CB 36 of the year before gave us ample opportunity to be able to earn a living, to become a businessman on our own. We are able to feed our family, pay our rent, do everything that's needed to be done. We were so grateful and thankful to PG Council that they have the courage in order to be able to do this. They did it successfully. To our greatest surprise is that the law has not been implemented fully before the campus came out of the woodwork and introduced CB3. The purpose of this petition is to take everything to the public so that the public can be able to see who is behind the monopoly of taxi cab industry in PG County. Another thing that we wanted to add is Taxi Silver Cab Company is the only dispatching company in the whole of PG County. This should not be, that's another monopoly bidded together with the silver company. And then it's only three people that are actually controlling the industry. If one fired you, you can't go to the other one. And this kind of monopoly should not be entertained in PG no more. We've seen that competition always breeds a whole lot of jobs for individual, but the purpose of CB3 is to close all the new achievement that are being made by the drivers, is to return monopoly back to the cab company the way that it was for the past 25 years. So we want the public to be able to know what is actually going on with the industry, what suffering that the taxpayers will be going through by passing CB3. So we want the public to be able to vote and see whether they will be happy to continue with the way the industry is carrying out business. Those are the kind of our concern. That is the reason why we were collecting signature in order to be able to overturn what CB3 are trying to put in place.
So let me ask you about, talk about this petition. You're holding it right now. This is a petition to overturn CB3, and this is what you're passing out right here at this field.
Yes.
August 2nd. So Lema, take us to the night of August 2nd. It's National Night Out. There's a good crowd here. The New Carrollton mayor is here, Andrew Henko. You had the chief of police, David Rice, and you had others in attendance. Talk about what took place.
Yeah, that's August 2nd. Every taxi alliance leadership and taxi drivers, we divide all the PG County night out place. And then here in New Carrollton, myself and Mr. Daly, we appointed here. As soon as we get here, we starting to collect signature. to tell them for residents what is the petition means, and then the petition, they, after they understand, they start to sign. The police officer, he came to us, he say his name is Lawi, his badge number is 3112.
It's L-Y-E-W.
L-Y-E-W. So he told us, you can't collect signature here. He say, I said, why? Because this is the public event. It's not your petition collecting place. You can't collect, he say. I said, this is the violation of constitution, I said. I don't care about it. You don't collect, you don't collect, he say. And then again, me and Mr. Daly, we talk, and then we call another Kali, our leadership. We get problem. And then those our leadership, and then they talk again, they call us. It's every the police, the chief of the police, I think his name is Chief Miguel, Prince George County Chief Police. They ask him, he say the, it's okay to collect signature. So, and then they told us, and then again we came, we ask him the same police officer. First, the police officer, he say no. After that, me and Mr. Daly, we go to mayor and the chief of the New Carlton Chief Police. We ask him, he say, that's okay, continue, continue, he say. And then we said, okay, we continue. The same police, he come. I said, stop. Why are you doing this? He said. I told him, the mayor, he say, okay. The chief of police, he say, okay. And then he say, follow me. He take us from mayor and the chief of the police. I don't know what he told them. And then immediately they change their mind.
Let's step back for a sec here, because there's a lot of information here. Dela, you were here first.
Lema was here first.
Lema was here first.
Yes, and I came second. And then when I saw what was going on, it was full-blown activities. People were everywhere. We could have been able to collect as many as possible because people were interested in what we were doing. They know that it's genuine, it is legitimate. They know that we want to break monopoly. They know that we want to be able to earn a living. They know that we want to give a good service, you know, to the people of the county. And they understand what is actually going on. They understand that CB3 is a menace that is going to stop the progress of the drivers. They know that it will take hope away from the driver. People were able to understand that, and they were gladly trying hard in order to be able to sign our petition.
And then what happened?
And then the officer said, we could not collect no petition. We have to pre-register before we can collect petition. As a result of us not pre-registered, that has cut us out. We could not collect petition in a public forum like this.
So a police officer, here you are, it's a public event, public park.
Yes.
A police officer, Liu, if I'm saying his name right. And I've reached out to the New Carrollton Police Department for a number of calls today. And I'm sorry that I haven't been able to get anyone to say anything. So the police officer comes and tells you that you had to pre-register before you could take signatures at a public gathering.
Yes, that's what he told us exactly. And then we weren't going to get in an argument with him. I told Lema to let us go and report the incident to the chief of police that has authority over him. When we got there, fortunately, we met the mayor there. The mayor and the chief of police talked. And then they gave us they authorized us to go back.
The chief of police, you're talking about the chief of police for New Carrollton.
New Carrollton, yeah.
So Chief Mr. David Rice.
Yes.
And Mayor Andrew Henko. So you speak with them.
We spoke with them, and then they authorized us to go back, that there's nothing wrong. But as soon as we got back, doing our business, collecting the signatures, the officer saw us, walked up to us, and said that he has told us not to collect because we didn't pre-register. And then we said, we have seen the chief of police and then the mayor. They've authorized us. And he said, follow me. We followed them, you know, to the mayor and the chief of police. But he did not say what. He whispered to their ear We did not hear what he was telling them. They just turned around and said, we can't. And then, because they have changed their mind, we left, you know, the field.
So the mayor and the chief of police for New Carrollton, who had just previously said,
yes.
Yeah, it's okay, it's a public gathering, and yeah. It's a petition, totally legitimate.
Yeah.
Then they speak with Officer Liu.
Yes.
And then...
As soon as they whispered it to their ears, they immediately turned to us and said, we cannot collect any more signature.
So what did you do at that point?
We left the vicinity in order not to get into confrontation with the officer because we know for sure that he will be following us around, and we don't want to get him upset, you know, in any kind of way. We followed the right way by going to the chief. The chief authorized us, and when we could not hear what he whispered to the chief that enabled the chief to change his mind, we left the vicinity and then go back, you know, to New Carrollton to work.
So now, Lema, as you were mentioning, you and Dele separately and leave in separate cars.
Yes.
And you're both driving. You get a call from leadership saying someone is their understanding is that they've gotten clearance for you to come back and collect signatures, that it's okay for you to do. So you return, you arrive a little before Dele, and what happens?
And I came, and then straight I go to the police officer Liu, and I ask him, the Prince George County Chief of the Police, Chief Miguel, he say that's okay. He say, you want a 400 ticket? Don't push me. You can't collect this signature. And then he's nervous. And then I said, okay, if you want to take the ticket, I don't mind. Give me ticket. Don't push me. He say, he jump and he shout. Everybody looking at me like crazy. And after that, Mr. Dele also, he was standing over there. And then Mr. Dele, the guy still, he don't want it, I said. And then we go out, how much we can't in the street, we collect our signature, then we go back. We can't do nothing.
So this was an opportunity to collect a lot of signatures. You need the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance with allies like Casa de Maryland and PRISM needs 10,000 signatures in a period of 90 days. We're well into that 90 days. I need to reach a certain benchmark at 45 days. So this was a critical opportunity to collect signatures that has now been missed.
Yes, and then we could have been able to be halfway by now if we were to allowed to collect signature, because there are a lot of voters that are on the field that could have been able to reduce the number of signature that we needed considerably. But we couldn't do that because of the impediment that the officer put in front of us.
Any final thoughts either you want to share?
Okay, the one thing, you know, that really baffles me is that in the United States of America, 2011, the most civilized country in the whole world, for an officer to just say something to a superior officer, and then for the superior officer, without checking everything into detail, and just go along with his suggestion, really, really baffles me, you know. And then it surprises me that we are not the only entity that day that was having problems. Another leaders in another jurisdiction of Prince George's County faced the same kind of problem that we faced in New Carrollton. Another one in Riverdale Plaza faced the same kind of problem that we faced. This, to me, look as if it is conspiracy in order to prevent us from reaching our goal.
And I look forward to looking into that other incident. Lema, any final thoughts you care to share?
Yeah, this is, like I tell you, even that day for the police officer also, I told him, this is violation of the United States of America Constitution. We have 14 rights amendment of Constitution. This is the one of this. We are not dangerous. We are not do nothing. We are the part of the event. Just we are collecting signature to success our goal. So this is purposely... They do the police officer, like Mr. Daly say, we feel that that day we are bad because we lost our right that day.
Thank you guys so much. That was Dele Omanijo and Lema Desalene, both members of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. Omanijo and Desalene say that they were prevented from collecting signatures by a New Carrollton police officer the night of August 2nd. Drivers are collecting petition signatures in order to place the recently passed anti-driver legislation known as CB3 on the November 2012 ballot as a referendum. In order to achieve this, they need to collect 3,300 valid signatures from registered Prince George's County voters by August 28th, and then they'll need to get an additional 6,700 signatures by 45 days after that. Presently, the Taxi Workers Alliance has some 2,000 signatures. In a little bit, we'll be speaking with Henok Wogders, one of the lead organizers of the Taxi Workers Alliance. Wogders will give us an update on where things stand with the petition gathering, and he'll explain how anyone interested, including DC drivers, can help out. But before that, we turn to an interview from last month with Prince George's County Council member Mary Lehman. Here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, Lehman discussed the problems with CB3, which overturned the driver-friendly legislation known as CB36, which was passed unanimously by the council just a year ago. Here is District 1 Councilmember Mary Lehman.
Just a year ago, in July of 2010, the Prince George's County Council unanimously passed a taxi cab reform bill that was sponsored by Councilman Tom Dernoga, but was ultimately unanimously supported by all nine council members. And it changed pretty significantly the way the county distributed licenses for taxi cabs for companies and individual drivers. And changed a very unfair system by setting a finite number of, expanding the finite number, limited number of licenses for individual drivers to roughly about 1,400, expanded by 1,400 or so, the pool to be distributed by a lottery. And at a cost of $25, which was the cost of the application fee. And it also prohibited individual drivers who, once they got a license and maybe decided for whatever reason they didn't want to drive any longer or just, you know, they didn't want to make their living that way, to sell them the licenses or medallions, as some people call them, back to the cab companies. In the past, that's what, you know, contributed to the monopoly control of the licenses, and it's also obviously an issue of economics, because for taxi companies or licenses that they buy, which are referred to as multiple owner licenses or certificates, they pay just $200 per vehicle per year, and so it's much more affordable for the companies, because then they turn around and sort of lease their licenses or their certificates to drivers who can't get them on their own. And those drivers who drive as affiliated drivers for the companies pay $335 on average a week. So it's a huge amount of their earnings. It's roughly equal to 50% if the average cab driver makes in the $35,000 to $40,000 a year range. $335 a week is about $17,000 a year, which is just staggering to pay that right off the top before they pocket anything at all. So, you know, there was an obvious need to get away from that system. It was a very unfair system, and cab companies were controlling, you know, 70, 75% of the licenses. And so it changed all that with the, you know, with the, expanding the number of these individual licenses, and then prohibiting, the important part was it prohibited the drivers from selling, the individual drivers from selling, you know, whatever price they could get for these certificates back to the companies. And, you know, with Councilman Campos, who just voted for this law last year, decided, I don't know how, you know, it was never clear to me how he arrived at this, that this, you know, law went too far, and so he introduced CB3, 2011, and he did not have any co-sponsors on the bill, but he persuaded enough of our council colleagues to support it. He got it out of the Transportation, Housing, and Environment Committee with no recommendation, which means the five-member committee voted not to, you know, to pass it through to the full council with neither, you know, a positive nor a negative, vote. It just was without recommendation, and no changes were made to it, even though we attempted to, Councilman Olson and I attempted a series of amendments that would have, you know, restored some of the provisions back to the law that Mr. Dernoga got passed last year, such as the prohibition on selling the certificates back to the companies, and what we refer to as the ratio or the balance, lack of balance in the bill, which is that, you know, where companies could own up to 75% of the certificates. You know, Mr. Campos's bill restored that ability, the monopoly control. Mr. Dernoga's bill the year before had changed that ratio of individual owners owning the licenses versus companies to, I believe it was 55-45. And so this bill, you know, really CB3 just completely turns back the clock to the way things were prior to enactment of last year's reform bill, which is very, very unfortunate.
Councilmember Mary Lehman, I want to play for you a clip before the hearing, or actually just the day of the hearing. Former Council Chair Tom Dernoga happened to be at the Prince George's County Council, and I had a chance to ask him his thoughts on CB3, which, as you're saying, overturned CB36, which was passed unanimously as he was council chair just a year ago. So I want to play a clip from my interview with former council chair Tom Dernoga and get your response. As the former chair of the Prince George's County Council, who helped shepherd through legislation that provided 390 medallions to drivers, what are your thoughts about CB3 and where things stand now?
I think it's an unfortunate rollback that's seems to be focused by special interest. You had two or three people control the cab industry in the county, and our goal was to break the stranglehold by a handful of individuals who basically didn't want to see free enterprise and basically had no problem keeping people in poverty, you know, the drivers. And anybody who spoke out got punished, lost the ability to drive in the county, and basically were frozen because there's nobody else to go to. So we tried to break that stranglehold by putting out the additional medallions and creating some rules that prevented the monopolies from buying up the certificates we created. And the bill that's proposed essentially supports recreating monopolies and putting workers and drivers in a position of long-term poverty and retribution against anyone who speaks out against it.
The CB36, the bill that you helped push through, that was 390 medallions to drivers, that was passed unanimously by this body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I'm not sure what else to say. Yeah, it was passed unanimously. And I think a lot of the council members have been dealing with it over a period of 3 to 5 years and come to realize that there was a lot of harassment and intimidation of drivers, unconscionable business practices, and plenty of rumors of corruption that you just couldn't ignore. Particularly, a lot of suggestion that the Department of Environmental Resources look the other way at problems and complaints. And it was rather disturbing the way things were set up.
That was former council chair Tom Dernoga, who a year ago he was council chair as CB36 was pushed through in a unanimous vote, including Councilmember Will Campos, who has now introduced CB3 and passed CB3. Councilmember Mary Lehman, you were not on the council at this time, but your response to what former council chair Thomas Dernoga just laid out.
Well, I think he's absolutely right, and he hit the nail on the head by using the term stranglehold and monopoly. which is what, you know, his bill last year broke up. I mean, we broke up the telephone monopoly, what, 30 or more years ago. And, you know, here we are. Did we learn nothing? And, you know, he, in my judgment, did the exact right thing with his legislation last year. And, you know, a year later, 9 months really after his law took effect, because it didn't take effect till October. Remember, Jack Johnson had vetoed it before the council also unanimously overrode the veto. The county has not even given, did not even give Mr. Dernoga's law a year to work, really had not even had a chance to work when the cab companies, just a handful of, you know, very powerful people, you know, unfortunately persuaded enough council members to overturn the law that it's, you know, the good work that Mr. Dernoga did is, you know, as if it never happened. And you're going to see a return to the same thing, to the monopoly control by these two or three companies. And, you know, these individual drivers, you know, in the same situation, paying just this enormous percentage, you know, the first 50% or so of their earnings back to these companies. By lifting that, you know, the worst thing it did was lift the prohibition on the sale of the certificates from individual owners to companies or multiple owners. It's very, very unfortunate.
In an op-ed that you wrote in the Sunday Washington Post from July 3rd, entitled Why Prince George's Need More Taxi Licenses, you write, in Prince George's County, what has stood between independent drivers and economic security is a system that is reminiscent of the sharecropper system in the Old South, in which poor white and black farmers could never get ahead. While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings, to essentially rent the license from the corporate holder. The 2010 law corrected that imbalance by allowing more permits for independent drivers via a lottery system. Alarmed by the prospect of losing their stranglehold on the market, cab companies filed suit against the county in the fall, but the plaintiffs withdrew their complaint knowing they could not win in court. Instead, they persuaded County Council member William Campos to sponsor legislation to repeal the law. These are striking words. Can you talk about you compare this to the sharecropper system in the South, and a little bit more, and then we're going to get Henock.
This has been a learning experience for me, and I don't, you know, pretend to know as much as Mr. Dernoga and others, but, you know, I learned as much as I could, as quickly as I could, and I was, you know, I was stunned to learn of the $335 per week off the top. And I said in the THE, I think we had a briefing before we had the bill before us, where we, you know, moved it out, as I said, without recommendation. But we had a briefing where we kind of were given, you know, the background and the industry and the history of the law that had passed last year. And I, you know, my immediate reaction was, In the op-ed piece, I call it, by liken it to the sharecropper system in the South, but I immediately said to myself, you know, this is like a system of indentured servitude, is what I thought of. There's just no way. It's no one's ever going to get ahead in a system like that. When you're paying out, you know, 50% right off the top of your earnings, you know, how do you ever, you know, even make ends meet, never mind get ahead? It's shocking, really, that any industry in this day and age can operate legally in that fashion. And it reminded me, you know, of Martin Luther King's words back in 1968, right before he was assassinated, when he went down to Memphis to talk to sanitation workers, and he talked about what a travesty it is for a man to, you know, work a full day for essentially half a day's pay. And I think that's exactly, I can't think of a better analogy for these cab drivers, the ones who have to affiliate with the companies because they aren't able to get you know, an independent, a very affordable, you know, $25 fee per year license, where they get to, you know, after they pay their expenses, you know, the car and the gas and all that, they get to keep everything they earn, and have some control over their lives and their earnings and their, you know, and their ultimate quality of life. That simply is not so for a driver who affiliates with a company. If we're going to allow these companies to go back to controlling 75% of the market, you know, that's the kind of system we're going to have, a very, very inequitable and unjust system.
That was Prince George's County Councilmember Mary Lehman laying out the problems with CB3. Joining me on the phone now is Henok Wogdurs, one of the lead organizers for the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. If you want to join the conversation, if you have any questions or comments for Henok and the organizing that is being done by the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, who in the next 14 days need to get up to 3,300 valid signatures from registered voters in Prince George's County. I think now they're about 2,000. We'll hear from Henok. If you want to join the conversation here on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, dial 703-534-9878. Again, I'll give that number out one more time. The number is 703-534-9878. If you have any questions or comments for Henok Wogdurs, one of the lead organizers for the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, welcome, Henok. So just 14 days. Henok, you there?
Yeah. Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Henok Wogdurs, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Henok?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay. Do we have him? Okay. Henok, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. I wasn't able to hear you. Apologies for the mix-up. So, don't know what you said, so start again. So, 14 days from now is the deadline for this first batch of signatures, 3,300 signatures that are due. Talk about this effort. There's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, we got to get 3,300 valid signatures from the registered voters in Prince George's County. You know, our aim is to get $10,000 signatures because if we don't get them in the first 45 days, we got to get 3,300 valid signatures to extend the law from taking effect for another 45 days. And then with the remaining 45 days, we have to get the remaining 6,700 valid signatures. But this 14 days are very crucial because if we don't get the first round 3,300 votes, then you know, the law will take effect. So any effort we do after that will be meaningless. So this is the first phase is very important.
And how many signatures are you at right now?
We are in the 2,000 range. I don't have the exact numbers, but there's a 30% chance that, you know, there's 30% of the vote, the signatures normally will be thrown out because if there's any mistake made on it. So we are aiming for 5,500 valid signatures because there's going to be some signatures that can be thrown out either for some technical error or any, you know, when they sign on the paper. So any mistake they made on the signature forms, that will make it thrown out.
So you're at about 2,000. You need to get to more than 5,000 to comfortably get by. That is a major effort. What do you want to tell drivers and non-drivers, those who are interested? What can they do over these next 14 days?
Yeah, you know, this is for the drivers also. This is about their livelihood, being able to provide for their families and also for the communities and for anybody who lives in the county. It's about justice. People trying to provide for their families are being prevented. So I hope they join us in this effort, getting their family members, themselves and neighbors and the whole community by reaching out to get this petition signed. That will help us all together achieving our goal.
That's the voice of Henok Wogders, one of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. If you want to join the conversation, you can call 703-534-9878. Henok, I wanted to get your response to the events of August 2nd. We reported earlier on the incident at Beckett Field in New Carrollton, where two drivers, Lema Desayene and Dele, were told that, and I wish that New Carrollton Police or Chief Rice or Mayor Hanko or the city administrative officer were able to join us. But what the drivers recount is attempting to gather signatures for this petition at a public event, National Night Out, at on a public field, which is where the interview took place, and for a critical issue, this overturning of CB3, which we can talk about exactly what's at stake here, and having to being forced out. Your response, Henok Wogders?
Yeah, you know, besides, you know, New Carlton, there was like multiple locations that our drivers were told to leave and not to reach to the public or try to gather this petition drive. They were threatened with $400 ticket if they try to gather the petitions. And in some locations, like Morningside and City of Bowie, they were told to leave or face an arrest. So, I mean, definitely there's a group of people that's trying to prevent us from getting the signature.
It does make it hard. I mean, this is a key night, National Night Out. There are a lot of folks gathering at events, and the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance really targeted events throughout the county. And to not be able to collect signatures at several venues, and I look forward to hearing from the drivers at Morningside and Bowie and the other places. So far, having just spoken with those who were at New Carrollton, but I definitely would like to look into this more. But that makes it a very high barrier to get over, and it doesn't seem exactly constitutional. If you have a petition drive, you need to have access at public places to be able to collect signatures.
No, it should be, yeah, because we have attended a National Night Out in the past. It's open for the public. Anybody can go there, can mix up with the crowd, you can talk to people. That is the whole purpose of National Night Out. But on this particular reason, we did our best. We were prepared for this. We have contacted the chief of the police office. We told them we're going to be doing this. And that we were hoping that, you know, we shouldn't encounter any problems doing this. But what happened was reverse. Once the drivers got there, like in Morningside, actually, they just came out and told them not to talk to the people or try to gather the people. And especially, like in the Morningside, they were just told to leave. That was not their evil. They were not allowed to leave. In Morningside, that is exactly what they were told. This was not a driver's event, so they got to leave. Then in the morning, New Carlton, you know, he was threatened with a $400 ticket if he tried to gather the petition. That was unconstitutional. It definitely the violation of the law. You know, that did put an obstacle from getting us the petition that we were looking for.
Are you looking at any legal challenge to this?
We are talking to our attorneys. We haven't made a decision what kind of action they're going to be filing, but we are looking into this matter because when you are a part of the community and when you go there to be a part of that community and you get excluded, definitely there's a violation.
What's at stake here, Henok Wogders?
There's a lot at stake because if we don't get this signatures, this new law, CB3, is going to be in effect, which means any driver that's serving in Prince George's County will be a slave to those cab companies. They'll be paying the current $17,000 if they kind of come up with some more. There's no way you're going to free yourself because put a language that says one for a thousand ratio, which means there will be no medallions given in the next 30, 40, 50 years, because in the last 4 years, statistics show that Prince George's County population grew only by 40,000. So when they put that language, it's on purpose to prevent any driver from getting any medallions. It means giving more monopoly to those cab companies from 55% to 75%, which they added on this new language. Basically, it's a bill that makes the cab drivers less to those three individual company owners.
Hanok, what's your message for drivers in Prince George's who are struggling mightily to pay the bills? If you work for one of the companies, you're paying $335 per week, even though that company only has to pay $200 per year for that medallion. And that's some $17,000 a year, 50% or more of a driver's income. So drivers are really, really struggling. They don't have time to take a day off, let alone several hours. And yet if drivers don't take time off and these signatures are not gotten, that is a very problematic situation for drivers. So what is your message to drivers in Prince George's County, as well as the District of Columbia, who also drivers are struggling mightily there? But any message you have for district drivers might say, well, that's not really our fight. We have a D.C. fight. But in a lot of ways, this is really one fight.
Yeah. Prince George's County, it's now this law, if we don't stop it, it's about being able to provide for your family. So staying in this industry as you wish like. Because what's going to happen is they're going to add some workers, and now they got the ultimate power, which means they're going to get rid of all the drivers that started to complain or stand up to their rights. So, I mean, it's going to be very challenging for any driver who's planning to stay in Prince George's County industry to work for the industry, because we already have seen the signs from the taxi company. As soon as this bill law was passed, they start changing some of the rules, how much they can charge for some minor details that you need to get processed from the company. So there's a lot of state drivers for the next 14 days or make or break week. So they have to put all their effort in this the next 14 days to come up with the remaining valid signatures to stop this law from taking effect. Also, for the drivers in district and in the neighboring jurisdiction, we all know there's been an attack on drivers from all kind of jurisdiction, like, you know, whether you live in Montgomery, you drive in Montgomery, Arlington, Alexandria, or a district. There is this group of people who are trying to take over this industry and keep the drivers as sharecroppers, like Mary Newman mentioned earlier. So if we don't succeed on this, you know, we can imagine what's going to follow in the neighboring jurisdiction. It also gives them a hope of we can do this too. So, I mean, it's everybody's effort needs to be consolidated in this.
Lastly, Hanok, you have a general meeting coming up this Tuesday. And again, the signatures that you're looking for are registered voters in Prince George's County. Talk about this general meeting Tuesday.
Yeah, this general meeting, it's a general meeting for all Prince George's County taxi workers, but also like anybody who wants to come and join us. Our meeting has always been open, but because this Tuesday, all regional leaders or like every metro station or every location where the Prince George's County drivers work, we make them promise to come up with as many valid voter registration signatures to submit on this Tuesday, but also to discuss about our next strategy, because there's a lot of drivers also in the middle where they have applied for the medallions but have been denied, and they've been appearing to the taxi commission but waiting for the result. So if this law takes effect, you know, it's going to affect all those drivers also who are waiting for this to get the medallion. So we are inviting all our drivers and anybody who wants to come and join us, share their opinions or listen to our story on this Tuesday, 7978 New Hampshire Avenue at CASA Worker Center, 2 o'clock.
And that's CASA de Maryland, who's been an ally in this, as well as PRISM. You're working with some excellent civic groups. Thanks so much, Henok Wogdurs. I look forward to seeing you Tuesday. We'll continue to cover this. Just 14 days left until these first 3,300 valid signatures from registered Prince George's County voters are due on August 28th. That was Henok Wogdurs, one of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. When we come back, we turn our attention to the District of Columbia, where the Taxi Cab Commission has a new chair in Ron Litton. Recently, I asked drivers of the gas station at 15th and U Streets Northwest if they had any suggestions for Linton. But first, Michael Franti's Bomb the World.
Please tell me the reason behind the colors that you fly. Love just one nation, and the whole world we divide. You say you're sorry, there is no other choice. God bless the people now who cannot raise their voice. Down all our enemies, bring them to their knees. We can bomb the world to pieces, but we can't bomb it into peace. Whoa, we may even find a solution to hunger. And burning pain. So I sing out to the masses, stand up if you're still sane. All of us gone crazy. I sing this one refrain.
This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned cab companies and associations: Allied Cab, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Season, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. Drivers affiliated with other companies or independent drivers can also become members of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers by visiting the offices of one of the driver-owned companies that make up the association, like UCC Luxury Black Pearl, whose office is located at 2711 26th Street Northeast, or the offices of Grand and Travelers. For drivers interested in staying up on the DC taxi industry's latest news, you can join the Saturday night 9 to 11 p.m. phone conference, which is conducted in both Amharic and English. I work with Ermias Wilsenu to produce the English segment of the phone conference. The call-in number is 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. And if you miss any of this information, it's all going to be available starting tomorrow at thefightback.org, where you can find all of the past shows of the Voice of DC Cab Drivers. And you can spread the word. Anyone with a smartphone, internet access, can listen to this program as well as all of the past ones. So everyone can get access to this information that way. The D.C. Taxi Cab Commission has a new chair. July 27th, Mayor Gray named Ron Linton to the position. At the gas station at 15th and U Streets Northwest, drivers offered some suggestions to the new taxi chair. We begin with Mr. Muhammad, followed by Dawit Nagash and Samson Donkwa. Here they are. Your name?
Mr. Muhammad.
Do you have anything that you wanted to share, Mr. Muhammad, with Ron Linton, the new Taxi Cab Commission chair? Any message for him?
Yeah, what I want to share with the new commissioner is that the mirror solved some problem for us, but you need to add some money to it. Also, the hack inspectors preventing a lot of people going to union session because there are a lot of harassment by them there. So these things can help us to work because we are all working to solve our personal problems. We are not criminals, but we are just self-employed to make money to help us solve our own problems. They add money to the mirror and let the hack inspectors stop harassing a lot of people, especially in the union session everywhere, asking for unnecessary documents. Thank you.
How are hack inspectors harassing people?
Well, they go to a union session, they ask you for things that they don't even need. Well, your car clean, this, and, you know, sometimes they ask you, do you have broom in your cab? If you show them manifest, a lot of things, they give you a ticket. Some of them don't even know how much money you're supposed to pay for a ticket. Okay, so, you know, stuff like that. There are a lot of them. That's most of the stuff there. Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Your name?
My name is Dawit. And my last name is Nagash. Just I want to transmit my message on behalf of the taxi cab drivers around DC. And my message is to treat the taxi cab industry fairly and to restructure the staff around him. And this is the main message. And then the next one is we heard something about new bill is proposed by the DC government. Just we don't like that one, and it's not embraced or the majority of the taxi driver. So he should insist the the mayor to change the mind and to rewrite the bill, which include the majority of the taxi driver. That is the main message. I do have two messages when I generalize my message. One is to restructure the staff. The other is, again, to see the bill which is transmitted to the mayor. This is the main message I transmit to the newly appointed taxi cab commission.
When you talk about the bill, are you talking about the medallion bill?
Yeah, I talk about that one. The medallion bill doesn't embrace or cover the majority of the taxi driver, so this bill should be rewritten in the way that every taxi driver should be embraced.
Any message for Ron Linton, the new Taxi Cab Commission chair, about what he should focus on and what he should do?
Yes, I have a message for him. I think he has to increase our fare, you know, to be equal to Virginia cabs and the Maryland cabs. But we are getting only $1.50 per mile. We're supposed to get about $2 per mile.
Anything else?
He has to stop the hack inspectors harassing us on the street, you know, issuing a big ticket to $1,500 to cab drivers, you know. It's too much.
Thanks so much. That was Samson Donkwa, and before him, Dawit Nagash and Mr. Muhammad, as they offered suggestions for the newly appointed chair of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission, Ron Linton. Wednesday evening, I joined Haimanat Bizuayihu, board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers, as together we appeared as guests on the Latino Media Collective on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica Radio. Haimanat and I discussed the latest D.C. taxi issues with host Oscar Fernandez.
Right now, joined live in the studio by independent journalist Pete Tucker from thefightback.org. And also with me in the studio is Haimanat Bizwayehu, who is a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Welcome both of you into the studio here with us. Pete, real quickly, there still needs to be an issue amongst taxi drivers in Washington, D.C. in regards to a new taxi commissioner. So tell us, for those who may not know, what is the situation here that has taxi drivers concerned?
Well, first, Oscar, it's great to be on Latino Media Collective and the great work that you do. Just want to point that out. There are a lot of issues, including there is a new taxi cab commission chair with regards to D.C. taxi cab drivers as well as in the region. They all seem to stem from a similar problem, which is that drivers have largely been left out of the political process, even been targeted by the political process. Hopefully that things will take a different turn with Ron Linton being named the new taxi cab commission chair. He has actually worked for John F. Kennedy's presidential campaign, and he has quite an impressive resume. So it's a welcome change from a previous couple of chairs that were less than impressive when it came to respecting drivers as well as respecting basic democratic and open meetings principles. There are some things that are concerning about Mr. Linton that maybe are just a matter of confusion, including the fact that he seems to – his comments directly after Mayor Gray named him the new taxicab commission chair indicated that he might not be in favor of drivers being on the taxicab commission, even though the 1985 taxicab commission establishment act calls for three industry reps to be on the commission. And presently, there are none by any reasonable definition of that. So there are many issues, including the new taxicab commission chair. Haimanat has been at the forefront with the Small Business Association of D.C. taxicab drivers of trying to get drivers a seat at the table, which is desperately needed.
Haimanat, I want to ask you the same question. What concerns or grievances do the taxicab drivers have in regards to recent events?
Well, one of the things we've been asking for the taxicab commission to give us a representation at the commission, and for the last...
We've been complaining about that according to the law, on the DC law and also the Taxicab Establishment Act of 1985. We've been asking to be represented at the commission, and so far there is no single driver representative at the commission. So hopefully
a little microphone problem. Sorry about that. Sorry.
So hopefully that will be changed in the near future, and the coming in chairman of the tax cap commission will be more favorably to the capital cap drivers according to the law.
What roadblocks have there been in regards to this in the past?
It's so amazing. I mean, just think about this. The law calls for three industry representatives to be on the taxicab commission, and presently there are none, and that was under the Fenty administration, that there was just a real attack on drivers. But Haimanat, are you optimistic that this is something that Mayor Gray will look into and address this, the lack of a – I mean, they say there are two industry representatives that are actually on the board, but they're not from the taxicab industry. They say, like, any industry. But are you hopeful that this will change?
We don't believe that there is a representative from the tax cab drivers. There are the so-called representatives of the cab drivers, but the act clearly defined that tax cab industry representative is actually from the drivers or the tax cab owners, company owners, who have a first-hand experience in that tax cab driving in that Washington, D.C.
And are you hopeful that Mayor Gray will take steps to change this?
We hope that, because that's the law, unless otherwise something has to be done to the law, everyone expects that the law to be respected.
Haimanat, Pete mentioned attacks in regards to drivers. What sort of attacks or discrimination are we talking about here?
Attacks, like under Fenty?
Yeah. Oh, attack, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, during the previous mayor administration, I mean, the tax cab drivers went through a lot. First of all, we can start from the low taxi fare rate. We have the lowest taxi fare rate in the nation here. We've been asking for almost over three years now that we get a fair compensation for our investment, because we are basically an independent owner operators of the tax business operators. So as any business, when you have to get a fair return on your investment. And that's what's lacking here, and we hopefully this will change under the new administration.
Oscar, one of the big issues that was recently, it seems like it's not as much on the front burner right now, is the medallion bill. And this was a piece of legislation that would have put most drivers out of business. It would have consolidated control in the hands of a few big companies by introducing something called medallions, whereby a metal plate goes on a cab. In New York City, that metal plate costs something like $700,000 each. And they
$700,000.
Yeah, $700,000 in New York City for a medallion in order to drive that, put that cab on the street. In D.C., it wouldn't have been that much at first, but what happens in city after city is a few big companies move in and buy up the medallions, and instead of, as Hymenop mentioned, having independent owner operators, which D.C. is unique, and that it has independent owner operators is the norm here. And so it's not a few big companies that are making the money; it is drivers. Yes. Drivers are making too little because the rates are some of the lowest in the country, lowest in the region for sure, $1.50 per mile. But the medallion would have consolidated control very tightly. And thanks to the organizing that you've seen from drivers and leading the way, the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, which is 16 different driver-owned companies and associations coming together, the medallion bill seems to be on the back burner now. But I was wondering, Hymenop, if you could talk about that medallion bill and some of the organizing that went into what it seems to be defeating it.
Well, in the first place, I want to mention this medallion bill was introduced in the name of professionalizing the taxi cab industry in Washington, D.C. But that's only true by name. But if you see, anyone see that with the bill introduced by the three council members, as Harry Thomas, Marion Barry,
Michael Brown,
and was co-sponsored by Yvette Alexander, was written in such a way just to benefit a few taxi cab company owners who have been here too long in Washington, D.C. So in the name of professionalism, to drive thousands of drivers out of work and making them independent of the public, here is not fair. And toward that, we, as a small business association of taxi cab drivers, we get organized and put up a very strong fight when we were able to make it slow down, and if not completely, we were not sure whether it's completely dead.
I want to ask to both of you, you mentioned that the medallion bill exists right now in New York. How has it affected the industry, particularly in New York? And also, why is D.C.'s fare rates the lowest in the country?
Well, the medallion for New York, I think it was the 1930s that went into effect. So that's an awfully long time ago. What the medallions tend to do is that there's only, a handful of players that can afford to put up big-time money. And so it ends up that a few big players move in, buy up the medallions, and drivers go from being independent owner-operators to working for the companies. And so the money really, tends to go then to the companies. You rent out your cab for really quite high rates. I mean, just go over the border in Montgomery County. So here in D.C., what is it to rent a car is, what, $170 a week or something? And in the District of Columbia, Montgomery County, it's more like more than $100 a day. And they have that medallion system. So when the medallions get bought up, when the industry becomes very tightly controlled, then the money really goes to a few owners. Whereas in D.C., drivers get more of the money. And also, since drivers are not still at the table politically, that may explain your second question, which is why are D.C.'s rates some of the lowest in the country? Drivers just have not been at the table. Unfortunately, they've been left out of the political process.
Do you want to add to that?
Yes, I would add something. The medallion, if the medallion system is introduced and the system of the Washington D.C. changing from the open system to medallion system, just like any other city which has a medallion system, is not going to drive thousands of drivers out of work, but it's going to be a poor service for the public, for the riding public of the Washington D.C. and the tourists. Because every time there is a medallion system, there is a shortage of cab. Whenever there is a shortage of cab, there is a poor service. And I don't see how this medallion system, especially this particular medallion system, which was introduced by these three council members, is going to professionalize the industry in Washington, D.C. and bring a good service to the citizens in Washington, D.C. And each and every driver questions that.
So if it's not going to be effective in that manner, what do you believe is the true intent of trying to enforce this?
Well, to benefit, of course, to benefit a few individuals.
Yeah, and there was an interesting Washington Post editorial that came out in opposition to the medallion bill, saying that when systems like this are introduced, they cited a chief financial officer's report, a DC CFO's report from 2010, I believe, that showed that you have fewer cabs, higher costs, and a system open to corruption. So it does seem that it leads to, as Hymanot said, a benefit to a few, but drivers nor customers tend to benefit from such a system.
Pete, real quickly, I want you to address something that we mentioned before the start of the show. There was also a bone of contention as far as confusion is concerned, is having an industry rep in regards to this situation, because there's supposed to be three.
That's right. And that is such a critical issue, and I'm glad to revisit that again. You know, it just seems so simple. There's a 1985 law, the Taxicab Commission Establishment Act, which calls for three industry representatives to be on the commission. And, you know, Mayor Fenty, with regards to boards and commissions across the board, did not fill seats or put on running buddies, or there was a lack of, I think, civic seriousness regarding his administration. Mayor Gray is a very serious public servant. And so it seems that, you know, there's so many issues, but it does seem that it would be appropriate for Mayor Gray to take those steps to fill. There are actually three open seats right now on the D.C. Taxicab Commission, and as was pointed out, there are, according to the law, three industry reps need to be on it. And I think by any reasonable definition, there are none, so that seems to be an appropriate step that could be taken by the administration.
I'm curious, just out of curiosity, about one thing in regards to taxi drivers. In this particular case, what about the issue of work benefits like health care and dental care, a near source thing that's health related? You know, what is the state of that? Do taxi drivers receive that working on their own?
No. We don't have health benefits. We don't have any workers' compensation or any benefit at all. And that's why we are just, in addition to that, just add that the low fare here. Mm-hmm. Because we pay for our own insurance, yeah. We pay for our all benefits, like we don't have any benefit like any city employee or any government employee. This is our business. We totally depend on our income from our business. So that's why I said earlier we have to be able to get a return from our investment, because this lawfare like this, trust me, I cannot tell you how many drivers lost their houses, pull out their kids from college, and how many marriages have been, how many marriages has been affected by this? Mm-hmm. So it just happened during the previous mayor, but hopefully the current mayor will see all this with open mind and do the right thing for the taxi cab drivers, and also by return to bring good service for the citizens of the Washington, D.C.
So for the Small Business Association, healthcare and workers' compensation is one of the objectives you're trying to get in your work, right?
Yeah, this association is fairly new, and it's just working. That's some of the goals we have. Mm-hmm. Because many drivers now, especially these days, driving like. First of all, it's because of the fare, the lowest fare structure here.
Yeah, that's the other thing I want to ask you. How many hours are you working if you have one of the lowest fares in the country?
Because of the lowest fare structure, basically we lost about 30% of our income. For the last 3-4 years, we are operating our business under 30% lower income. So in order to compensate that, drivers have been driving up to five hours more than they used to drive before the fare was structured, the laws were structured.
And how many hours before?
About 9 hours or so, but now an average of 14 to 15 hours.
In a day.
Mm-hmm. That is practically true for each and every cab driver in Washington, D.C.
And that's 5 days a week?
More than that, six, sometimes 7 days a week.
Goodness.
Yes.
Man. Pete, is there anything you want to add to what he just said?
Well, I just came from a meeting in Prince George's County, and what is happening in D.C. Is also happening in Arlington. It's also happening. I haven't learned much about Montgomery County, but it seems, if possible, almost even worse from what I've been hearing there. But in Prince George's County, the drivers, the Prince George's Taxi, Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, are trying to overturn recently passed legislation. And they're collecting signatures. They need 10,000 signatures to put it on a referendum. And what I'm learning about is that they tried a national night out, which was last week. They were told by a couple of local police officers in Prince George's County they could not collect signatures. That was a major signature gathering night at a public space, at a public event. So I'm going to be looking more into that. But I just want to let listeners know, especially if they're in Prince George's County, that is taking place, that drivers are collecting these signatures so that they can put as a referendum this. It's called CB3, the legislation, which essentially continues the stranglehold, I'm quoting council members, the stranglehold that a few industry reps have over that county's taxi industry.
Hi, Manat, before we let you go, I could tell you for a fact right now that there are a lot of taxi drivers right now that listen to WPFW and are probably listening right about this time as they're doing their job. So for all the taxi drivers that are listening right now, is there any message you want to give to them before you go?
Yes, this is what I want to tell them. I want them to get organized, to fight as one in order to preserve our livelihood here. If we're not organized, they are going to take our business away from us. So please join. For those of you so far didn't join the association, please come join the Small Business Association of DC Cab Drivers.
Just out of curiosity, just don't mean to be personal, but where are you from originally?
I'm from Ethiopia. Okay. Originally.
Amharic?
I speak Amharic, yes.
I'll give you a second right now to speak in Amharic as well to everyone that's listening also.
Okay, for the Amharic, in Amharic, right?
Yeah.
Amharic, I'm Tadamutu Uganuchin and Moche, Yihil Jochachin, I'm Nastada de Gibbetsra, and I come Makatafalaga, Madarajit in Urbanal. Selezi, a Small Business Association of District of Columbia Tax Cab Drivers in Baro, Itokakoma Association, Skazari Balafutam Stores, the Sarautan Sara, Taukalachu, Ahunam, Yesu Association member Konachu. የበለጠ ልንሰራና መብታችንን ልናስከብርን እንችላለን ልጆቻችን የምናሳድግበትን ስራ ልንጠብቅ ስለምችል ጆይን አድርጉን ጆይን ለማድረግ ከፈለጋችሁ የድራይቨር ኦንድ ሆኑ ማንኛውም ካምፓኒዎች መሄድ ይችላልላችሁ አድራሻ 2711 26th street northeast ወይም ደግሞ 1716 ሮዳላንድ የሚገኘው ግራንድ ኦፊስ መምጣትና በሜምበር መሆን ይችላልላችሁ አመሰግናለሁ እግዚአብሔር ይስጥልኝ
ፔት
Wow, the Latino Media Collective breaking new ground only here. That was really awesome. I would just say that I've had the privilege of, covering this issue closely, and all that reporting is at thefightback.org. So people can go to thefightback.org if they want to learn more about these issues. And Oscar, it's been a privilege and pleasure to be with you and be next to my good friend, Haimanat.
Once again, Pete Tucker from thefightback.org and Haimanat Biswayehu.
Yes.
Okay, of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Thank you very much for being with us once again.
So much.
I hope to have both of you in regards to the subject, both of you on the show again in the near future. So thank you very much once again.
That was an interview from the Latino Media Collective this past Wednesday on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica Radio. This is the voice of DC cab drivers here on WST Washington. Special thanks to Francis for engineering. Please check out thefightback.org as well as the Facebook page and Twitter at Fightback Radio to spread the word about all this information. Again, 14 days left for the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance to get some 3,300 signatures to put CB3 on the ballot as a referendum in November 2012. 14 days. Tune in next week to the voice of DC cab drivers. I'm Pete Tucker. You were just listening to the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WST 1120 AM. Tune in Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. to catch the show live, or to download and listen to past programs, visit thefightback.org.
The only souls accused of hit and run, tire tracks all across your back. I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic.